According to CNN, the modern fashion show dates back to the 1860s when pioneering English fashion designer Charles Frederick Worth used live models instead of mannequins to present his creations in Paris. But instead of looking at modern fashion shows or modern cultural values to determine what is attractive adornment for a godly woman, we're going to see what Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, what Peter says are truly attractive garments. The title of this message is A Fashion Show for the Godly Woman. We're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And Peter says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening." We see in this text that a godly woman's adornment includes both the action of her conduct and the attitude of her character. Now, the first garment here that the godly woman is wearing is the garment of submissive conduct. If you are following the outline in your bulletin, this is a garment of submissive conduct. Now, the first word is likewise. And this is full of meaning because Peter has just been talking about how we submit to governing authorities and how servants submit to their masters. And he's talking about submitting as to the Lord. It means submitting even when there are unpleasant consequences. Not because we agree with the authority, and even when the authority makes the wrong choices. We submit to authorities because we submit to God and we fear God, and not because we fear the authority. So if you are a wife, this applies directly to you. You submit to your husband because you are a slave, not because you are a slave to any other man, not because you are a slave to your husband, but you submit because you are slaves of God. And this is a really important point, and I'm going to repeat it. You submit to your husband because you are obedient to God. Now, who can benefit from Peter's instructions here? It is not just wives, so all of you pay attention. Now, girls and unmarried women, pay attention. This is what you are shooting for as a wife. This is what a godly husband is looking for. Young men, this is helpful for you in evaluating potential brides. Husbands, you need to understand your wives, including what God has called your wives to be. But remember, Peter is not saying here, "Husbands, make your wives like this." Peter is saying, is giving directions directly to the wife. Husbands, your directions are going to be in the following verse, in the next sermon in 1 Peter. Now he says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word." Now, husbands who do not obey the word are husbands who are not believers. They're husbands who are not Christians. Now, if your husband is a believer, you might think, hey, I'm off the hook. I don't need to worry about what this passage says. But you'd be wrong. This passage applies to all wives. The text says, so that even if some do not obey the word. Peter is assuming that some wives, or even many of these wives, do obey the word. His instructions to submit to your own husband are not limited to wives of unbelieving husbands, just like Peter's recent instructions to be obedient to the governing authorities or to submit to the governing authorities, and as servants, to be submissive to your masters, are applicable to all Christians. But here in 1 Peter chapter 3, there is a particular benefit and a motivation for wives who are married to unbelieving husbands. Now, marriage is not easy. And marriage isn't easy because husbands are sinners. Marriage is not easy because wives are sinners. But marriage to an unbelieving husband is even more difficult. When you're married to an unbeliever, you can share a house, you can share a meal, you can share a bed, but you cannot truly share your heart in the same way that a believing woman can share her heart with a believing husband. Now let's go back to our text. He says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Peter here is talking about salvation. Now, every man, every woman, every senior, every boy, and every girl knows that there is a God. They know that He is eternally powerful, that He has a divine nature. And they know this because God has created them, and He's created the world, and God has shown His attributes to them. If your husband is not a believer, it is not because he hasn't seen what God has revealed. It is because he is suppressing the truth. But God has not left you in the dark. God has shown you how you can behave with your unbelieving husband, what you can do, what you should do. Now, from the time I was about 5 years old, our family knew a beautiful, godly young woman who loved the Lord, who came to church, but she married the wrong man. She married an unbelieving man. She was an immigrant, and she thought, I think somehow she would get status if she married a Canadian man. But that did not work out. She ended up continuing to work very hard in the husband's continually failing business, while also working at a separate job in order to support the family. She wasn't able to come to church anymore. She prayed. She cried. Her husband didn't like it when she came and talked to my mom. He made, and to many people, he even called me and made vile and untrue accusations against his wife. But my parents never told this young woman, who became an older woman, they never told her that she should leave her husband. And finally, when this woman was in her 40s, her husband couldn't take it anymore. There had to be a God behind this woman's actions. And about 12 years ago, he accepted Christ, and he became a completely different man. And I was talking with him in the weeks leading up to this change, and he was just absolutely making vile accusations and speaking wrongly, completely wrongly. But then he accepted Christ, and he became a completely different man, and his wife was a picture of Christ to her husband. Now, your goal is to win your husband to the Lord. Now, some women might try to win their husbands to the Lord through, you know, presuppositional apologetics, or through rational arguments, or through scientific evidence. But that's not how God says here to win your husband to the Lord. Others might try to convince their husbands. They might be trying to continually tell their husband, you need to come to church. You need to become a Christian. They might be reminding their husbands of their faults. But their husbands are probably thinking, why won't my wife stop nagging me? Don't be like these women. Your heart may be aching for your husband because you know that he is separated from Christ and from the love of God. And you desperately want to see your husband saved, to be blessed. But what can you do? You can show your husband Christ clearly through your actions. Your life of submissive conduct and a gentle and quiet spirit is much more powerful than any arguments that you can bring. This passage applies directly to you if you are the wife of an unbelieving husband. But does this submission mean that you are inferior in any way to your husband? No, of course not. It's important to realize that wherever Christianity and the Christian and biblical way of life has spread and become influential, women have been blessed and liberated and valued. The greatest blessing for women is when men and women understand and take their God-given responsibilities in the biblical pattern. Deviations and perversions from the biblical pattern always result in harm to women. Throughout history, in many cultures, this has been so. Look even at our culture. The feminism that rejected God-given differences between men and women has led to a culture that rejects all the wonderful differences between men and women and is now celebrating every different perversion. We have deviated so far from the biblical pattern that women are no longer valued for being a woman. They're no longer valued for their natural ability to raise families, to bear children. Women can no longer even win at women's races because some man calls himself a woman. Men are no longer taking responsibility for protecting and caring for women. They're no longer taking responsibility for staying with their families and raising children and protecting their wives. God has created the entire universe. It is God who decides how authority and submission work, not us. And it's in God's way of submission and authority that is where we find blessing. That's where we find value in each of our own roles. Now Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus was equal with the Father. But he humbled and emptied himself and became obedient. He came to do the will of his Father. Paul tells us that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. There is both equality and structure within the Godhead. Equality and an authority structure within the Godhead. Now God said, let us create man in our own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, God created both men and women in his own image. Know that you have the same value, women, as your husband. Or young woman, you have the same value as your potential husband. When God made the world, he made man in his own image, but the creation was not complete until he made women. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, man was his image and the glory of his creation, and woman is the glory of man. She is the crown of her husband. She is the glory of God's creation. Women, You are the most glorious part of the most glorious part of God's creation. You have a special and unique role. Now, Peter says, Peter's not the only one who says to submit. Paul also said in Ephesians 5:22 that Glenn read this morning, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So wives, live in joyful submission to your husbands. Do not try and grasp for equality, for you are already equal. And he is your head, and he is charged with taking care of you. Now, a submissive spirit comes with respect and purity. Peter says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Your husbands are going to see your conduct. They're going to see that respectful and pure conduct. Now, I believe here that Peter is talking about respectful and pure conduct of the wife in the sight of God. Before God, she is respectful and pure. Now, this purity means pure from every fault. It is chaste. It is immaculate. It is modest. It is clean. It is innocent. And if you are living a respectfully and pure before God, you, of course, will also be respectful and pure before your husband. Now, our example in purity is Jesus. John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 3, to be pure as purify yourself as he is pure. So the first garment that the wife wears is a garment of submissive conduct. And the second garment that the godly woman in this fashion show is adorned with has imperishable beauty. So if you're following in your notes in the bulletin, this is a garment of a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. Peter says, starting in verse 3, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, this isn't just a strange idea of Peter's. Paul says the same thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "Likewise, I want the women to adorn themselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and with self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, as is proper for women who can profess to worship God." Now, God has designed women to be attractive. He has designed the woman to be attractive. And you need to decide, though, and especially young women, you need to decide what kind of attractive you want to be. Now, this is a very important question, so I'm going to say it again. Young women, girls, what kind of attractive do you want to be? What kind of husband do you want? What kind of man do you want to be attractive to? Now, the Bible gives us a picture to help us remember what a lovely woman is like who lacks discretion. Imagine a beautiful 24-karat gold ring. Now imagine that beautiful gold ring as a nose ring in a pig. The last pigs that I saw were in mud that was probably about this deep. They were all muddy. They were muddy on their back. They were muddy on their legs. They were muddy all over their bodies. And God tells us that a lovely young woman who lacks discretion is like those dirty pigs wearing a gold nose ring. This is not an attractive picture for a godly young man. But to a vain man who cares only about the externals, this lovely young woman who lacks discretion will be attractive. So, young woman, I'm speaking to you. Don't show off your body in a way that attracts the wrong kind of men. Don't wear clothes just to attract the attention and focus the attention on your body. You will get a man, but you will get the wrong man. The man who thinks only about your body as an object doesn't care about you. He's not going to be there to support you because he is fleshly minded and not spiritually minded. And the same thing is true about wearing jewelry or fancy hairdos. There is nothing wrong with clothing. There's nothing wrong with jewelry. And there's nothing wrong with braids. But if that is where your attention is focused, then you're going to be self-centered. You're going to be thinking, hey, look at me. And your heart won't be on Christ. Your heart will be in the wrong place. Peter is effectively saying, wives, don't focus on the externals. Focus on the internals. And Peter says, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. It is your heart that is important. And your heart includes your passions and desires, your affections and your emotions, your purposes, your understanding and intelligence, your will and character, your mind and motivations. And this is important. Peter is saying that your adornment should not be external. Your adornment should be internal. And he says, your adornment should be the hidden person of the heart. Now this word hidden is kryptos. Kryptos is the same word that is used in cryptography. Cryptography is what is used in computers, what is used in emails, what is used in text messaging or secure messaging to prevent bad guys from seeing what you are sending to other people. While everybody can see, if they're looking at the wires, they can see that there is messaging going on. They can't see what that messaging is. They need to have the password in order to understand it. And so for you, when you are adorning your heart, the bad men who only want to see the wrong things will hardly even notice you. They won't be attracted to you, and that's a good thing. And King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And Jesus said in John 7, 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And it is because the Holy Spirit is in you that the fruit of the Spirit can come out of your heart. Are you focused on the externals? Are you focused on what you look like? Are you focused on adorning your heart? Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When was the last time that you asked your heavenly Father to give you the Holy Spirit? All right. So the adornment should be internal, but not external. But what should we be adorning ourselves with? Peter says, the heart should be adorned with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, quiet means quiet. It means tranquil. And gentle means gentleness of spirit, meekness, mildness of disposition. Now, twice this word for gentleness is used of Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, we are under the care of Jesus. We take his yoke on us. We put ourselves under his control, and he is gentle with us. We find rest and peace with him. He draws his children to himself. The law of kindness is on his lips. Now, you have children. Are you gentle with your children. God has put your children under your control. Are you gentle with them? This might hit home for some of you. It hits home for me too. Am I gentle? Are you gentle with your children? Or do you get angry? If you get angry sometimes, repent. There is forgiveness and your sins will be washed away. Do you have a gentle and quiet spirit with your husband? Or are you boisterous and loud and assertive? Ask the Spirit to give you the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the Holy Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh: vanity, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, gossiping, nagging. Put to death. If you are nagging your husband sometimes, put to death that work of the flesh. Now, wearing the garment of a gentle and quiet spirit also means that you are not being argumentative. Have you ever been in an argument that was escalating? We used a similar illustration last week. But have you remembered Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, while you were having that argument? Proverbs 15, 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And it's amazing how well it works. It takes two people to argue. And as soon as one person provides a gentle answer, the wrath is just turned away. The argument is diffused. And Jesus provides a perfect example for this. He suffered and he didn't revile in return. And women, if you have an unbelieving husband, young woman, if it turns out that you marry a man that looked like a husband, a believer, but he was not, these actions of a gentle and quiet spirit, if you are gentle, if you provide a gentle answer, you're going to be turning away wrath. Like, even if you are a believer, you should not be arguing with your husband. Your husband should feel free to bring up any topic for discussion without hesitating because he thinks that it might cause you to quarrel with him. You should be free. Your marriage, your relationship should be one where you can have pointed discussion, where you can figure out the pros and the cons, where you can provide arguments on both sides, but it shouldn't be argumentative. Now, if your husband tends to be argumentative, that doesn't mean that you can be argumentative with him. Are you arguing in response with your husband? Or are you providing a gentle and quiet spirit? Now, last week, my father-in-law was driving down the highway in his 5-year-old Hyundai SUV, which all of a sudden started to make a clicking sound, and then all of a sudden the connecting rod that between the piston and the crankshaft just put a hole. It let go and it put a hole in the side of the engine block. It rendered the SUV completely useless, and what was once valuable became almost worthless because the cost of repairs were not that much less than the value of the SUV itself. Hyundai knew about that problem, but they didn't correct it. There was a flaw that you couldn't easily see on the surface. Wives, do you have a flaw that you are hiding? Are your tongue and your manners gentle? Are you quiet? But in your heart, you are not gentle and you are not quiet? A gentle and quiet spirit means that your heart is gentle and quiet, not just your tongue. And I don't mean to be harsh. in this because I want you to be encouraged. When I look around here, I see so many women that are gentle and have a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what I see. So I do want you to be encouraged. And I want to encourage you to continue to grow in these graces. Now, Peter says that a gentle and quiet spirit has imperishable beauty. It is beautiful. Beauty is a gift from God. God created the world and He created it beautiful. God created it good. And all this physical beauty that we see around us, though, is now affected by sin. It is decaying. The creation is, our bodies are. Our bodies, they're decaying until one day they're going to be renewed. They're going to be, we're going to have a new and body with imperishable beauty. Now think of some of the most beautiful flowers that you have seen. Maybe at the Royal Botanical Gardens in Burlington, maybe at Niagara Park's Botanical Gardens, maybe in a greenhouse, maybe in the middle of a field. So think about a very beautiful, intricate flower. God said that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these flowers. Now again, when's the last time you were at a wedding? The ladies are all wearing beautiful dresses, different colors, different patterns, different shapes of dresses. Dresses are meant to be a beautiful garment to adorn the beautiful women who wear them. Now the wonderful thing is that the garment of a gentle and quiet spirit is beautiful. It will adorn you with a beauty and glory that cannot be had with all the fancy clothes, or jewelry, or mascara and makeup that money can buy. Now you have seen a scorching sun that withers a flower, that withers the grass. The flower falls. Dresses won't fit forever. Our bodies get old. Our skin and our hair loses its luster. Makeup won't always hide wrinkles. But your character, your gentle and quiet spirit is something that you can have now, and it's imperishable. It will last forever. Your gentle and quiet spirit is something that you can have now, and it will last forever. By the way, in my books, beauty has nothing to do with wrinkles or hair color. Sorry. Older women with wrinkles and gray hair never lose the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. There is a confidence that they have, a contentment and a joy and godliness, and it makes them more and more beautiful as they get older. Now, older women, please set the example and lead the way for younger women in this. For instance, there's Will here, or Tilly, or Susan. Young woman, it's a good idea to invite some of these older women to your place and learn from them. Learn from the examples of older women. And older women, you have an extremely valuable role to play. Paul says that older women are to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. So I ask you, older women, please do this. And you don't have to be in your 60s in order to provide this function. You can be in your 50s. You can be in your 40s. But you have an extremely important and valuable role within the body of Christ. And younger women would love your guidance in their lives. Now, this garment of a gentle and quiet spirit is not only imperishable and beautiful, but it is very precious in the sight of God. God has made it clear what is pleasing to Him. God is watching us, and you know that it is valuable to Him. You don't live just in the sight of other humans. You live in the sight of God. And He has told us what is actually precious in you. Even though people won't always value a gentle and quiet spirit, God does. And this garment is valuable in the sight of God. Now, Sarah is a beautiful model who wears these garments. Let's read our text again. So go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 5. And Peter says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." The Bible says that Sarah was beautiful. And by reading the story of Abraham and Sarah, we see that she wore the two beautiful garments of submissive conduct and a gentle and quiet spirit. She was a beautiful model for us to follow. Now, when you think of Sarah, you might immediately think of Abraham asking her to lie, with the result that she entered the harem of a foreign king. And that did happen. But if your husband asks you to enter the harem of some other man, come and talk to the elders. Don't obey him if he tells you to do that. But that's not the point. More realistically, your husband is a sinner, and he's going to lead in some ways that are wrong. He's going to make some wrong choices. But you have nothing to fear. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us. We know that the Bible has revealed to us how we should obey. And the secret things, those things that we don't understand, those things that are in the future, they belong to Him. And we can trust Him that he works out all things for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose, like we read earlier. Now, when Abraham told Sarah to quickly make a meal from scratch for some unexpected guests, she did. She was adorned with a garment of submission and with the garment of a gentle and quiet spirit. Sometimes you will need to be called to work hard at something that you weren't expecting to do. Now, when God called Abraham to leave his home and journey to a foreign land, Sarah went with him. He led and she followed. It was a long journey with a destination that she didn't know what it would look like. And this was because of a promise of multi-generational blessings that she would never know in her lifetime. She was clothed with the garment of submission and the garment of a gentle and quiet spirit. And sometimes you will need to be clothed with a garment of submission and a gentle and quiet spirit as you follow your husband to a location that you are not sure where it is. Or into a path that is unknown. Isaiah 52 says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you." And Hebrews 11 says, "By faith she received power to conceive." And Paul describes her in Galatians 4 as the free woman, representing the covenant of promise, who gave birth to the Son of promise. She believed the promise and obeyed, even though she didn't see it at the time. The result of her obedience was blessing that was amazing and beyond her imagination. And there will be frightening and unknown circumstances in your life, like COVID, or like moving away. But your trust in God will allow you to follow your husband without fearing anything that is frightening. And to do it adorned with a garment of a gentle and quiet spirit and with submissiveness to your husband. Now, if I were an independent fundamental Baptist preacher of the type of church that Pastor John came out of, that he went to when he was younger and came out of, I would probably completely miss the point of this passage. I would make legalistic conclusions from this passage, like you should always obey your husband no matter what he says, that you should never have a pointed discussion with your husband. I might come out with this and say, you should always wear a dress of a certain length. I might say that you can't ever wear any jewelry, that you can't wear any makeup, or that you can't wear any beautiful dresses. And I would probably tell you that you need to wear a head covering of a certain type or hair of a certain length to show your submission to your husband. But I would be completely missing the point, and so would you, if that's how I preach this passage. If I were in a mainstream church, I would just say some words and completely miss the power of this passage. Or I might more likely just skip the passage altogether. But we seek to faithfully apply all of God's word and apply it to the heart, not just the externals. So next Sunday morning, are you more concerned about your looks? Are you more concerned about what other people are thinking about you? About the externals? Or are you more concerned and more focused on your heart? Are you focused on your heart or how your children are behaving? Are you doing the hard work of clothing yourself with the garment of submission, with the garment of a gentle and quiet spirit, loving and submitting to your husband, whether or not he is a Christian, raising a family together, praying for your husband, be encouraged, trust in God, and God will bless you. And again, I want to encourage you that everywhere I look, I see women who are dressed with this garment of a gentle and quiet spirit and who are dressed with the garment of submission. Now, you can't dress yourselves with these garments in your own strength. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will help you. Amen.